Welcome to the Tea Podcast, bringing you the best in news, entertainment, celebrity gossip, social commentary, humor, and LGBTQ lifestyle. This podcast is part of the Urban Wire Media Network, where we shine the light on issues impacting the urban community. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher.
Thieves Treats LLC is a decadent sweet shop that creates exquisite desserts for any occasion. Whether it be for an anniversary, birthday, special event, etc., Thieves Treats has you covered. Thieves Treats LLC uses the most freshest items and the best chocolates, caramels, and products in the world. Every bite of Thieves Treats will leave you wanting more. She's located on the west side of Indianapolis, and you can connect with her on social media. On Facebook and she's on Instagram. Reach out to her via email at seastreets38@gmail.com, or you can contact her at 317-664-2609.
Hey, I have a question for you. Are you too busy to keep your chores done? Well, leave it to Crystal Clean. Crystal will help you keep your place clean, balanced, and in tip-top shape. Crystal will arrive fully equipped with her own cleaning supplies, positive energy, and ability to work some beautiful magic into your life. Keep your home your sanctuary and take away some of that stress and worry. You can message her or text her directly to schedule a service at 317-603-5897. Crystal is now specializing in residential and office cleanings, and she's also now servicing Central Indiana, Hamilton County, and Greater Indianapolis. Check her out today.
All right, we are back with the second part of our show. We are now in episode 12, which I need to update that on our screen. Check us out at www.youtube.com/UCOFW. Please subscribe to our channel. Also, we're on our Facebook group page if you want to follow us for updates on show listings, excerpts of our shows, events that we're going to be planning in the future. all kind of wonderful things. So just follow us at the Urban Wire Media Network, and you can follow our group page on there. Let me think of other housekeeping things we have going on. Like I mentioned before, we're going to be starting Urban Wire Media Network radio, talk radio later on this year. So we're going to be working toward that, hopefully towards the end of the year or early next year. I don't know. So we're back with my partner in crime, as I mentioned before, my baby, Jonathan, and our good Judy over here, Miss Ethan girl. Yes. So the second part of the show, we're just going to do, we have a couple more news articles that we're going to talk about, or news items that we're going to talk about. There was a scientific breakthrough earlier on last century dealing with Henrietta Lacks, and we're going to get into that, how they used her cells to develop a lot of the vaccines that we benefit from today, including the COVID vaccine. And her family reached the settlement because they were saying that they were using her cells, her cancer cells, the cells that came from her. And the pharmaceutical companies made billions off of her. So, and the family was never compensated, so they came to a settlement with that. Also, we're going to talk about something interesting, like what are the worst states, best and worst states to live and work in Indiana? So we're going to discuss that, and then we're going to get into our main topic for tonight, dealing with opportunists versus allies in the community, and how can you spot these people, and what we need to do to rid these people out of our spaces. So we're going to jump into the topics, but did you guys have anything to add as far as anything else you wanted to discuss before we jump into our last few stories?
No, I'm just ready to jump right in. Yeah, what do you say?
I'm good.
All right. Okay. As I mentioned, Henrietta Lacks, she was really responsible, unknowingly, she didn't know, but like her cells were used to create a lot of pharmaceutical breakthroughs and like a lot of things that have helped a lot of people throughout the years. And we're going to go to this clip kind of explaining that. And there's a lawyer by Benjamin Crump. He was able to help that family fight to win that case. And once we come back, we're going to talk about that, because once again, this kind of ties into, do you have allies or do you have people that are opportunists? So we're going to go to this clip and I'm going to come back with our commentary.
Lacks is one of the most important figures in modern medicine you may have never heard of. Before she died of cancer back in 1951, doctors took her cells without her consent, and then they were used in countless medical breakthroughs. But her family was never compensated until now. Yesterday, attorney Ben Crump announced a settlement with a biotech company. Her family claims profited off of her cells. Jerika Duncan has more on her story.
Happy birthday!
Henrietta Lacks' family rang in her birthday Tuesday with a present they fought for years to secure, a settlement for an undisclosed amount, cementing her impact on the field of medicine.
My grandmother gave the world a gift 70 years ago. And we're here today to give her a gift of justice.
Doctors at Baltimore's Johns Hopkins Hospital harvested Lacks' cells without her knowledge in 1951, a practice they've insisted was common at the time. But after she died, her cells would become the first human ones to be grown and replicated outside the body. Now known widely as HeLa cells, combining the first two letters of her first and last name, they've contributed to the development of vaccines for everything from polio to COVID and to Nobel Prize-winning cancer research. Lacks' family accused biotech company Thermo Fisher of making billions in profits from innovations tied to her cells. In a statement Tuesday, the company said the parties are pleased that they were able to find a way to resolve this matter outside of court.
Today certainly was poetic justice.
Attorney Ben Crump began working with Lacks' family 2 years ago. He says this is just the beginning, and he expects other pharmaceutical companies to, quote, do right by Lacks.
A lot of people just think of the HeLa cell as a cell,
and a product. But she was a woman. She was a mother, a grandmother.
Alfred Carter is one of Lack's grandchildren.
People know that what happened to Henrietta Lacks was wrong. But we're all here together to make things right.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Jerika Duncan.
This is a long time in coming, and they always say it is never too late to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about what she gave us in the medical community, mm-hmm. unknowingly.
Right.
And unknowingly and never compensated and yes. never really acknowledged for many, many years. I didn't even know about this story until I was an adult.
That's right. And we read about it in The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. Yes, Oprah produced that
produced
movie.
Oprah produced it, was yeah. in it. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, we are back. That was just something fascinating, I think, in the news cycle this week that I just kind of wanted to bring to the forefront. I've heard of Henrietta Lacks before, but I've never really delved into it. But I really found that was very fascinating that her sales, like even though she went through cancer and even was kind of messed up how they used her sales without her knowing, I really think it was a wonderful thing that she was able to kind of get back in a way, even though she went through something unfortunate. And it's really good that the family has now gotten justice. Like the article or like the clips, you know, mentioned, there wasn't it's probably one of those things, because a lot of times in cases like that, they probably put a gag on it to where they can't really talk about it, about the settlement and what they reached. But I guarantee you that family is going to be well off now, considering how much money that pharmaceutical company has made throughout the years. I think they are very pleased, and I'm glad that Benjamin Crump stepped in on that. But it goes to show you, like, even Black people in America, like, we've always been taken advantage of. We've always had things stolen from us. And I hate to say this, this is why reparations are needed, because there's been so much taken from us, and it's not even from a slavery point of view, which we can definitely talk about that, but there's been a lot of things that we have gone through in this country, a lot of inventions that are still used today in the modern world that came from Black Americans, like African Americans, people that were descended of slaves, and they weren't properly. You know, it's just sad. Like, it's just this country, they refuse to acknowledge that they have a debt that they need to pay. And even with the whole Tulsa City riots, I don't know if you heard about that, how that successful town, how there were still a couple survivors from that in the courts still denied that the people that were living should have any type of reparations or anything paid to them. And it's just very sad that this country will give billions of dollars to other foreign nations, but then they won't take care of their own people. Because Black Americans are Americans. We helped build this country. We made this country what it was. And for them to, it's just a slap in the face. You know what I mean? Like, every other group has benefited from reparations, and they still benefit from it. And they just won't make us whole. Because I think in the system of white supremacy, it would equal out things, and that system won't work, because I feel like, you know, if you gave Black people a leg up, I think the playing field would be evened out, and I think that the powers that be don't want that to take place. So this is just another story that just demonstrates, like, how we've always had things taken from us, and this country will not acknowledge that. So I don't know how you guys feel about that or about this particular story, but
I know that the medical community has a lot of examples of, it's almost like the ends justify the means.
How they've exploited a lot, especially the Black community, like yeah. even with the Tuskegee experiment, like that's another situation. Like, you know, it's a very cutthroat industry.
Mm-hmm. John Oliver did a expose like a few years ago about medical schools, and somewhere deep in his deep dive of what he was trying to expose is that back in the day, there were a lot of medical students who were taught that African-Americans and women experience pain differently.
Yes.
And I these medical students who eventually became doctors took that with them to their, you know, their practices, hospitals, wherever, and they think that's gospel. And it was, it couldn't be the, it was completely far from the truth. And I think the medical establishment is really changing and really trying to set things right. It might be slow, but just like with Henrietta Lacks, eventually, you know, the long march towards justice, you know.
It's a lot, and it ain't like, and this can get into a whole nother discussion about disparities within Black and other people's people of color, like they're in the community as far as resources and just the disparities in general. Like, you know, that's a whole nother topic that we can discuss some other time. But yeah, it's sad, but I mean, it's really good that this story had a positive outcome. So
yeah, just leans back towards, you know, where we're at in just the day and age of corporate America, you know, greed, just being inconsiderate toward somebody because you're making money off of them, so they don't give up, they don't care about them at all.
Well, it's definitely the dark side of capitalism, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. You know, and
medical research.
Yeah. All right. Let's segue to our next topic. This is an article that came from CNBC, and I'm just going to highlight some of the top points on here. These are the American, the top 10 worst states to live and work in 2023. And there's a big surprise at the very bottom, according to them. As you can tell, there's no big surprise. Number 10 was Florida. And they were saying how Ron DeSantis hopes to ride his war on woke to the White House, but is not winning his state's points for quality of life. Supporters of the State Stop Woke Act, which DeSantis signed into law in 2022, say that it projects employees from diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives that DeSantis say that are toxic. But many companies consider DEI an economic imperative, and courts have struck down parts of this law. The recent Supreme Court decision on affirmative action in higher education, however, is expected to lead new legal challenges to the DEI programs in the corporate world. So they were saying some of the strengths of Florida, though, are the air quality, child care, and worker protections. I didn't know that. Number 9 on that list was Arkansas. Number 8 was Tennessee, obviously, because they mentioned in this article about the whole situation about laws targeting the LGBTQ plus community, and about, you know, the bathroom laws and all that stuff. But they were saying some of the weaknesses are inclusiveness, crime, and voting rights. Check this out. Guess who's at number 7? I'll let you take a wild guess.
Indiana.
Yes, you're correct. Indiana has, unfortunately, we're on the top of that list for all the wrong reason. I just lost my place. Let me get back to that article. Okay. Okay, let me scroll back there. I lost my spot. But yeah, Indiana is number 7 on this list, and they were saying how our weaknesses here are child care and inclusiveness as well. They were saying with fewer than 10 licensed child care facilities per 100,000 residents, the Hoosier state is taking it hard, making it hard for families to fully participate in the workforce. It's the second worst, check this out, the second worst figure in the nation behind even Louisiana, according to the advocacy group Child Care aware. Protections against discrimination under the state law are limited as well. So, yeah, number six was Missouri. And there's a tie between Alabama and South Carolina. And they pretty much have some of the same issues as well. Voting rights, worker protection, inclusiveness, health. Number three was Louisiana. Number two was Oklahoma. And check this out. Number one they had on the list was Texas. They were saying how could 200,000 college-educated workers moving to Texas each year possibly be wrong? It depends on how you look at it. With the nation's highest percentage of people without health care insurance and the second lowest number, of primary care physicians per capita, all those new Texans are arriving to find a dismal health care system. Texas has the nation's 13th highest violent crime rate, so they're taking crime into consideration, and it ranks 37th for licensed child care facilities per capita. So that was the top worst places to live in. So does any of those surprise you?
Mm-mm. Yeah, nope. Not in the least. Nope. Yep. Indiana seems to be like the, like if my hand was the southern states, Indiana would be the middle finger.
I got the day.
No, sorry. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Don't look.
Don't look.
Yeah. And it's really unfortunate. Indiana can really be a really great state.
Yeah, it has potential. But we were just talking, me and Jonathan and I were talking the other day, like Indiana is like one of those states where it almost can be split into two states, I feel like, because you have northern Indiana, like LaPorte County. Lake County.
LaPorte too.
Yeah, LaPorte too. It just seems like they're like an extension of Chicago. They're more liberal up there versus like the lower half of the state, like southern Indiana, like you wouldn't even think they're part of the same state. Like it's more progressive up there because they're an extension of Chicago, I think. That's why it's even a city up there, East Chicago. It's literally an extension of Chicago in their politics. Because a lot of people even they
cross the
border to work, to, you know. Work. But it's just really crazy how politically behind we are. But we want this huge metropolitan area where a lot of people are drawn to us, but yet we still have these antiquated, like, ways of thinking. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. I think Indianapolis is not as bad because, I mean, obviously we're a Democratic city, but... You know, outside of that, like, it's, I don't know. I mean, to me, I think there's worse places in the United States, but I think we're up there. Like, I think for a northern state, we have a very southern mentality here. I mean, even there's some southern states that aren't even as bad as Indiana. I feel like, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I have a pretty wild opinion just as our country in general, as we are dividing ourselves severely and continuing to divide ourselves. Honestly, I just think that we should become independent countries instead of one whole country.
And you know what? That's not the first time people have said that. That's not really true. That's not really, it's not a foreign concept. I mean, I've heard of people saying it before.
Even like since the founding of the country,
there's
always been talk that, at least starting with the original 13 colonies, that they should be split into two different countries.
Yeah,
after the Revolutionary War, and what does it all boil down to? At the time, of course, leading up to the Civil War, it all came down to slavery. And we have been a fractured country
And then we had the Civil War, and then we came back together. We've been glued. And it's really been divided ever since.
It's like one of those marriages, like where you're just there out of obligation, like you forced to stay there. It's almost like a mother and a father staying together
for
the sake of the kids. And I just feel like that's how it is. Even I will even say this country could be split to three ways at the very minimum, because I think the West Coast is their own entity themselves.
They are.
So it's just like we have these pieces, like you said, it's like a ceramic plate that's being glued together. Really, it's being held together, but you know you can't really use that plate, you know, as a whole unit, because you don't know, it's fragile. You know, and I kind of feel that's how this country is. It's like it's been forced to be glued together, but they're separate entities. I feel.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that, like mom and dad staying together for the sake of the kids. The joke I want to make is like mom and dad got divorced and somebody ain't paying child support. I like that.
It's when you get in trouble with that child support.
Mm-hmm.
But.
This is definitely another subject for another time, but how this country still manages to stay together is honestly beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I'm glad that it is, because you know, really the U.S. has really afforded all of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of good things in our lives, and if we were to have like a national falling out and national breakup, would it be the same like leading up to the Civil War? And somehow I don't really think so. I could be wrong, because I think that there's just a lot of states that would just say, yeah, sure, let them go, like New England and the South. You know, they tried to say, you know what, let's not fight over this, let's just, you know,
part ways,
amicably shake hands, and then, you know, mm-hmm. we're done. We'll do our own thing. You do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would look terrible to the rest of the world.
Where the rest of the world could see it as a, oh, finally they're doing this.
Honestly, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we have one more topic we're going to discuss, and then we're going to get into our main topic, and then we're going to end the show. I want to talk about the entire Carly Russell situation. Did you guys hear about that? Well, we're going to go to this news clip to kind of get in context to this, and then we're going to come back, because I really have a lot to say about this, because I feel like this young lady really has angered a lot of people, because she created this whole hoax. And this is a young nursing student from Alabama. And I'm going to get into this clip. It's going to kind of outline it. And then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss this.
And that story of a nursing student who admitted to staging her own kidnapping, triggering a 49-hour search effort, now turning herself into authorities. ABC's Ike Adjachi has the details on the charges she's facing. Good morning, Ike.
Good morning, Janae. Alabama prosecutors charging Carly Russell with two misdemeanors for the 25-year-old's role in falsely reporting to law enforcement officers and falsely reporting an incident, each punishable with up to 1 year in prison if she's convicted. Now, on the night of July 13th, Russell called 911 from her car, claiming she saw a child walking alone on the interstate. Now, when police arrived, all they found was Russell's car, along with her wig, phone, and purse. But neither Russell nor the child were there. Now, her disappearance sparking that frantic two-day search. Police and volunteers handing out flyers, searching the area. That is, until Russell returned home on the night of July 15th, claiming she was kidnapped and escaped, eventually admitting that she made the whole thing up. Now, the police chief saying Russell searched for Amber Alerts and the movie Taken on her phone before her disappearance. She's since been released on a $2,000 bond as she awaits trial. It's still unclear exactly why Russell fabricated the story. Guys?
Questions there. All right, Ike, thank you so much.
Well, hey,
Hey there, GMA fans. Robin Roberts here. Thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Lots of great stuff here. So go on, click the subscribe button right over here.
All right, Miss Robin, girl. All right, we get the point, honey. You're not getting free press and publicity on this show, honey. You're not getting that. So we are back. There's so many layers to unpack. I remember when this story first came out, like, there, oh God, like, I knew from the beginning that there was a play being made. And, like, a lot of the story wasn't adding up. They said this woman had her damn keys or her wig left in her car. And they said when she just showed back up at her mom's house, they said she had, like, $100+ in her pocket. It was just, her story wasn't adding up. And I think that there's something mentally going on with this girl to make up this whole entire story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the thing that she was trying to get away from her parents because her parents was overbearing, I hear. But I just think a lot of people are upset with her because here it is. Like, we already have a situation in this country where a lot of people feel that Black women or Black people in general don't get the same coverage when they go missing. And here you are, you had all this national attention. And they said she came from a well-to-do family. Like, you just a spoiled brat that just was just, I don't know what her motivation was, but they said that she was well-to-do. She had people in the community that were really trying to look for her. They had well-to-do people that were putting up money. They were creating GoFundMes. Like, I really feel that this girl deserves everything that she gets because in a system where we don't value Black life, let's just be honest with you, they really went over and beyond to try to find this girl. And the countless number of hours and resources that were allocated to finding her, all of this was wasted. And I'm going to tell you who this reminds me of. This reminds me, you already know what I'm about to say, because mm-hmm. I'm seeing memes of this, of Jesse Smollett. She mm-hmm. pulled a Jesse Smollett.
That's what I was thinking too.
And I said, people don't realize when they do stuff like this, this makes it hard for victims in the future, like when Jesse Smollett did what he did, of hate crimes. That's why I feel like sometimes people kind of just look over at the shit when it happens to us and specifically in the Black LGBT community because of stuff like this. And then now this girl's doing this. You know, it's just this, it's despicable. And I'm going to put this comment online, like somebody just made a good point. Someone said she needs to go to jail because there's a lot of people getting kidnapped. And I totally agree with that.
Yes.
Because you have wasted valuable resources. I don't care what nobody says. And, you know, I think we need to start holding people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Stop making excuses. It's not mental illness. I said, girl, you're not that mentally disturbed because you were in medical school. You knew what you were doing. And for you to, it was just a disgusting thing. You know what I mean? So.
And it's not just that. People spent lots of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Lots of money.
Yeah. So. I want to thank whoever that was for that comment because they're dead on with that. But let me ask you guys about this. You know, they said she was being charged. Do you think that should be a felony or should it be a misdemeanor when people do stuff like this?
Felony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially like I was saying, like if there's money involved, if like law enforcement's involved, like you're wasting like government resources because you felt the need to do this for whatever mm-hmm. reason, absolutely it should be a felony. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I think that's a good way to segue. Before we go to our topic tonight, I want to send a shout out to my cousin Chan Harris. I want to wish her a happy birthday. You know, that's like my ride or live. I don't like to say ride or die, but that's my ride and live. And I want to wish her a happy birthday, happy blessed birthday. I wanted to do that. I said, before it split my mind, I know she's going to read me down if I don't wish her a happy birthday. But I just want to just wish her a happy birthday. She's always been a supporter of mine, a supporter of our platform. Growing up, that's just always just been like the sister I never had, even though it was my cousin. So, yeah. Like, even in our adult age now, like, you know, I can always depend on her to give me a word of encouragement or a good laugh. You know, we used to get into trouble at church. We used to sit around, baby. We used to talk about the people in the church, baby. We used to cackle in church, but we got into a lot of things going up. But I would say that she has always accepted me for who I am. Even now, she's accepted Jonathan, like my friends. Like I couldn't ask for a better support system. That's not even her, just my family in general. I just think a lot of times, with us, I think we take for granted that we have people in our corner that love and respect us, because yes, it's not common. Like, you know, it's not common. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not common, but there are a lot of people in our community, they don't have that. So you mm-hmm. don't never take that for granted. So you have to give people their flowers while they're here, because you don't want to be in a situation where something happens to a loved one and you'll be like, I wish I would have told them how much they meant to me, or I wish, you know, we wouldn't have let a little disagreement or something petty come between us. So I just urge anyone that has people in their life that love them, like, you know, I know things happen, people are going to disagree, but don't let the sun set without you getting that thing right, because people are leaving out of here. You just can't take for granted because somebody's young and vibrant. People are getting killed. People are getting taken out of here. So, but yeah. So
that's right. Happy birthday, Chen.
Yay. All right. I want to get into our last topic, and we're going to get off here because I know you guys got, yeah, it's early in the day. So I want to do this show early so y'all can get y'all drink on, your club on, or y'all can go out with the kids.
Go eat.
We about to go eat after this.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a topic and get your opinion on it. Because I wanted to get into the whole womanhood debate. Like, there was a situation where it was this messy transgender that got online. It says women don't own periods, and they don't own motherhood, and this, that, and the other, and trans women, this, that, and the other. I just kind of feel like a lot of times some trans women, I'm not saying all, because a lot of them were roasting her and getting on her, because there was this back and forth between T.S. Madison and Jess Hilarious, which is a comedian. There was a debate online about this, and then Flame Monroe and Angelica Davis, I think, from Pose, they got into it online. It was this big to-do about this. And a lot of
it's Ross, Angelica Ross.
Angelica Ross, okay. Yeah, they got into it online, and it was just a big mess. All because this messy transgender, we don't even know who the woman is, like, but she got all of us riled up over this. Like, women are going, natural born women are going against transgender women, and it was just a dumb debate. Like, why are we arguing over this when we have people getting killed and we have bigger fish to fry? But my thing is, it's like, why can't the trans women respect biological women and vice versa? Like, let's just be real. Like, it's a social construct, but we can't deny biology too. So why can't just the natural born women and transgender women come together and support each other without trying to tear each other down? Because trans women, they can't give birth, they don't have periods. So it's certain things that each other, they can respect each other's experience without trying to tear each other down. And that's my biggest thing about the whole situation. And it was just ridiculous. Like, and especially with amongst Black people, we already have enough division amongst us. Like, it just was just ridiculous. Like, and I mean, there's countless videos online about it, but I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about that? I mean, do you think it's just ridiculous that people are online having this crazy debate, like, amongst trans and regular women?
Yes. I think it's being stoked by a lot of people on the far right.
Yes.
And they just will not let this go, you know, live and let live. You know, if someone thinks that they're trans, okay, then they're trans. I just want to, you know, I just want to move past these petty squabbles. But for some reason, there are some out there that just keep bringing it back. And we have to keep rehashing, you know, all of these old issues.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what some of y'all think out here. Like, people that's watching on Facebook, like, if you have a opinion about that, post it in the comments, because I feel like it's, you know, it was a nasty thing. Like, it was, I think a lot of the nastiness come out. And then Tasha K brought her damn chicken head behind into the conversation. Girl, you got bigger fish to fry. And I mean, because you still got to pay Cardi B her $4 million. So, girl, you need to get off the line trying to be messy, trying to exploit. There we go again. You have these people that are opportunists. Like, she's an opportunist. Like, girl, you always have these gay boys and gay people on your show, but then you dissing them and dogging them out on the other hand. And that's why T.S. Madison wore her out. Like, you know what I mean? It was just a mess. But I don't know.
I was just going to say, as an example, I saw one of the most transphobic things I've ever seen on social media. So I was traveling through, you know, coursing through my page, and one of my friends, well, no longer friend, but we'll get into that later. But who is also gay posted this thing, and it was Dylan Mulvaney. You all know who Dylan Mulvaney is. Mm-hmm. And it was a Tampax ad, and she was holding a used tampon that was covered in excrement instead of period.
Oh, Lord.
Menstrual blood. Anyway.
Period, Paul.
Period. Yes. Stop. So I just posted, I said, imagine that, transphobia in our own community. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. And so I had a couple other, you know, cisgendered women that are going on there and saying, you know, our, you know, women have fought for women's rights, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, they, trans people don't know what it's like to be a woman, and going on and on. I'm like, in my mind, I immediately blocked them because I did not even want to get into that. Yeah, they're no longer, mm-hmm. they're not in my circle. They're no longer part of my, you know, whatever. But just because, like, one specific category of person, whether it be women's rights, you know, Black Lives Matter, whatever, like, one specific group goes through what they have to go through to earn their rights. They fought for, you know, women's right to vote, women's, you know, equal pay in the workplace, whatever, what have you. Why can't trans people fight for their rights as well? Like, it's a completely different category. So it's like, you have your rights, why can't we fight for our rights? Mm-hmm. The division there is real. And it just goes back to what we were talking about a few episodes ago, saying that, you know, there is discrimination in our own community, and it's and it needs to be brought out, and it needs to be made an example of, because it's not right.
I think we all need to have, like, a sit down discussion about this amongst the LGBT, and have a very frank discussion,
yes,
about this, because if we don't talk about it openly and honestly, and come to some sort of agreement, we're going to continue to fracture. And there are some on the L and the G side, and probably B as well, that they want to completely rid that the T off of LGBT.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
And that is starting to gain traction.
Mm.
So, I think we need to have a reckoning moment.
Yeah.
And I think that people in general also view the word phobia too generally, like too specifically, yeah. Like, yeah. Saying, like, nobody's scared of gay people, nobody's scared of trans people. It's like, it has nothing to do with that. If you're against something, you're against it.
Or yeah. You fear what, that what they have going on is going to attack you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like I said, some people just need to read a damn dictionary. Yeah. Like, y'all just are so uneducated, and you're willfully ignorant. Like a lot of people refuse to get educated. They don't. They choose to stay in that place of ignorance, I feel like. You know what I mean? So,
and these topics are really starting to not only they're not only in the right side of the political spectrum, but it's also starting to really gain traction in the mainstream, where I seen a Dr. Phil episode, and I don't really care for Dr. Phil, but he devoted one entire episode to trans issues. And of course there's no resolution at the very end of the show. And that is just for ratings. That is clearly
entertainment-based.
Something that is entertainment-based.
Believe to our topic,
And that doesn't help. If we really want to get to the root of this and not have it for show, we have to talk to each other.
We have to have an in-house discussion.
Obviously Fox News really runs with this. Piers Morgan, he runs with this. Just a lot of the problematic media types. But now that Dr. Phil has really opened up the floodgates in, you know, the afternoon talk shows, and I'm sure it's been discussed on like The View. They just do it for ratings.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Leads into our topic tonight. And it's been an ongoing thing. Do you feel like we have a big problem with people that claim to be our allies being nothing more than opportunists? Tunis, do you think that that's an issue? Because you just mentioned that Dr. Phil situation. These are people that years ago wouldn't even touch gay issues. Like, the media wouldn't even acknowledge us years ago, but now that it's the trendy thing to do, or the topic that brings in the views and the ratings and stuff like that, do you think that a lot of times these people are taking advantage of our plight? Or, I mean, do you think that these people are not true allies? And do you think, like, we should be having more platforms allocated, platforms that are LGBT-centered, and we should be discussing these issues in-house instead of allowing other people to exploit us?
Yes. To answer that last question.
Yeah,
I do.
But on the other hand, there's another side that, you know, even though it can be seen as taken advantage of, on the other side, you know, it gets people talking, it gets discussions happening, people talk about their opinions, and sometimes minds are changed.
Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, there is a positive side to it.
Yeah. I know I can only speak for myself in my experiences. Like, when it comes to women in gay spaces, and that is amongst the gays, that is a very, very sensitive topic. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of women that really do have our backs, and they really do support us.
Yes, I'll never negate that.
Mm-hmm. But it's finding the right women that actually that truly care about us.
Yes.
In what we go through, like with me in particular, you know, I've had a lot of female friends who just kind of took advantage of the fact that I was gay, and have, you know, they've asked me for money. They've asked me, oh yeah.
So they think that gay men are weak.
Yes, they do. A lot of them do. But then there are some that are, you know, they're true to their word.
They're very protective of us.
And you're exactly right. They're very protective. And it's really hard to, you know, kind of separate the wheat from the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of hard because to talk about this, just because just when you think that you have a friend and she turns out to be a Judas,
then
it's really it makes things a lot more complicated.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
It is.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
And it's the same thing. Like, maybe you got a lot of these straight guys that come to the club because they feel, or they want to be friends with gay men, because I've heard this too. Oh, you guys have access to all the women and this, that, and the other. Yeah. And they're users too. Like, it's easy to spot these people out. Like, and this is why, like, I'm all for women, especially the ones that have our back. But there are, like you said, there's a segment of them that want to come to our bars, cause all this confusion. They feel like they can come to gay establishments and act unruly. They sit up here. They bring all they want to have these bridal, whatever these little things are, like events at our clubs and stuff like that. But then when it's time to put the payment into to address some of the issues that are going on in the community, they're not our allies. They're there to benefit from us. But none of these people were speaking out. I'm not going to say none of them. A lot of them weren't speaking out when the whole thing was going on in Tennessee with the ban on drag shows. But yet y'all want to come twirling your asses up into the gay bars to watch to watch all the drag performance shows. But like very few of them were speaking out against it. Or, you know, or anytime when it's time to put in work for the community, like you don't see a lot of these people out here putting in that work. Like you don't see them. Like you just don't. Like I'm not saying some of them aren't, there are true allies, but there's some that just want to come to they want to come party with us and they want to experience the positive side of the community. But then when it's time to fight for rights or fight for things that are going to help us as a community, they're nowhere to be found. And I just feel like that is something that I've been noticing for years, and it's disgusting. Like, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I do feel like there's a lot of opportunity. Like, you know, I can see if I don't call it exploitation if both parties are getting something out of it. Like you mentioned earlier, like some platforms, even though they are profiting off of us, at least we're getting some benefit from it. But like sometimes a lot of these relationships are one-sided. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I feel like we need to start excommunicating, or we need to start putting these people on blast. Like, because it just angers me. Like, you guys don't care about us. It's clearly obvious. You know, you guys feel, oh God. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it. There's a place in town called Broad Ripple. And I feel like there's a lot of people like that in Broad Ripple. This these little closet, what's the masculine, toxic, masculine having guys that want to, you know,
bro culture,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And y'all want to sit up here and down the gays, but then you guys want to lay and play with the gays on the down low or with each other. And it's just like, you guys are sick. Like, and then some of you have the nerves to show up in Pride and be like, oh, I'm here as an ally and this, that, and the other. But you're not no ally. Like, man, I could put some people on blast. I'm not going to do that with my platform. But I'm just so sick of this bro culture. I'm sick of these people that want to tip and dip and jump in and out of the community. But when it comes time to living in your truth and bearing your cross, you don't want to bear your cross. You want to have all the benefits of that and then go back to your straight life, your heterosexual life, where you can fool these women and you use these women. This gets into the opportunist side. You use these women as covers, because I'm like, I got to get on the women, because women, you have the intuition, but how do you not see that these guys are using you? Like, these guys are sweeter and more softer and more moister than Duncan Hines cake, and you guys don't see it? Like, I just don't understand it. Like, everybody's just using everybody. Everybody is just trying to get over on everybody, but nobody wants to put in the work when it's time to put in the work. And that's what I'm tired of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
One of my favorite comedians, Mateo Lane. Really funny guy. Mm-hmm. You know him. Yeah. He is sexy as hell. And he did this podcast. Actually, well, he was invited to this podcast called Flagrant, I believe. I might have to correct myself on that. I don't know. But it's these other guys who are asking them all these questions about, like, you know, gay culture as it relates to women. And he started off by saying, you know, women are always, we accept them because they've always, you know, always mainly been there for us. But he goes, there's this one type of woman out there that when they go to the clubs, he goes, and I'm going to do it in his fashion. He goes, it's all about me. And he's like, okay, that's where I draw the line. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you're coming into our space, mm-hmm. and you are making a mockery of, you know, what we have done, what we've built up, and this, that, and the other, to just to put the spotlight on you. And he's like, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
And of course, on what's the word I'm trying to say? I mean, it's not like verbatim of mm-hmm. what he said.
Yeah.
It's a interpretation.
Interpretation. There we go. And I'm like, holy shit, someone finally had to say it. Because I think that a lot of gay men have just been like, okay, yeah, she's here, and, you know, we've only been come to the same gay bar for, you know, a really long time. I'm just like, I really want to be with, you know, I don't really want to hook up with a guy or something to that effect, or, you know, I just really want to get, you know, just really have fun, maybe without a woman, just want to be with my, you know, a lot of my fellow gays and this, that, and the other. And
it's Friday night.
And you're just like, oh, okay, can we do this another time? And, you know, stuff like that. And it's gotten to the point to where there are some women, a lot of cis women, who are problematic. And when they come into our spaces, and it's like the fun that we have, a lot of times it's not the same fun that they're thinking of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that either might, you know, intimidate them, or it might just go against what they believe. I don't really know. But some of them seem to have this moral high ground. Yeah. And then they want to shut the shit down. And I'm like, why?
We were just talking. Remember, we was in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and who was that was telling us about what was it? This guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was saying about how, what was it?
It was in New Orleans.
New Orleans. How it was like these women that was coming in the bars, like taking pictures of people and video.
Yeah.
Of stuff like, and it's just like, what are y'all planning on doing? Are y'all trying to? I just feel like sometimes these people are ops. Like a lot of times, people that are coming in our spaces are ops. They're not for us. Because why would you come in knowing that we are already a subjugated group of people and we have our sacred spaces, like that, what you are left that are for us, and then you want to come in and it comes almost, I can kind of see why the old school gays, they didn't want women in their bar, especially the bear and leather bar. Hell to no. I know in Indianapolis, Like, it was probably in the last 5 years, like, that they were really allowing women to come up in those bars because it was one of the things they had to. But that used to be a thing. They didn't want women coming up into the bars. And I kind of, I want to say, I don't know. I can almost see why, because you had people like that that could get your place shut down. Like, these people that's coming in, like, they are allies, but they are ops. And I think we still are dealing with that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
There were a handful of women. Remember that club we went to in New York? Like, there were several women that I could point out that were there when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just the environment doesn't seem inviting for them. So I don't know why.
Why would you want to come there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are you coming there for? those men are out of reach. They don't want you unless you want to look like you can turn out a straight guy. I mean, a gay guy. But those men, honey, that is testosterone central.
Yeah. And there are just certain clubs out there that are full of sexual energy.
Yeah.
And it's a type of sexual energy that is for specific people. Mm-hmm. And when a woman comes into this and she encounters it, what is she going to do?
Yeah.
Is she going to just, you know, just kind of be on the sidelines and just, you know, have your fun? That's fine. Yeah. And, you know, I'll just go out my merry way and this, that, and the other. Or is she going to be one of those that's going to be like, hello, 911? You know, she mad, you know what they're
nobody,
doing?
Because nobody mad because they don't want her damn SpongeBob square built ass there. I'm not trying to body shame. But it's mostly the ones that can't get a man that are like that. Like, you want to come in and mess up our stuff because you can't get a man. Like, and we're all accepting in our community. We and I think that's to our detriment at sometimes. But how can you come in here and trade on us like that? Like, we're accepting you because some women feel like they feel more comfortable in the gay environment because they can be themselves. But then you have some of these women that are messy like that. They messier than some of the queens in the club. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I think a large part of it has to do with that we are victims of our own success.
Mm.
And that's going to be kind of a twofold answer in the fact that, you know, we allow women into our spaces and some of them, you know, they don't like what they see and then they have to shut things down. And then there are some gay bars in general that are just shutting down because, you know, an area is being gentrified and, you know, all these, you know, cis heterosexual couples are moving into the neighborhood and they see this one gay bar that, you know, there's some, you know, things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And well, we can't have that here. And then they shut that down. And and
I knew that was going to happen to 501 here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I remember that. But do you think that that's kind of what happened in Chicago too, as far as Boys Town? Because Boys Town is not a relic of what they used to be. I mean, it's still inclusive. It's still but it's not the.
I mean, you walk up and down Halstead Street in Boys Town, and you see these monuments along the side of the street with rainbow flag collars of all of these people that have really gone before us who have, you know, they were pioneers in the gay rights movement. And then you have, like, right across the street from one of those pillars, you have this new apartment complex that went up. And you have all of these, I'm going to say it, breeders that are walking out with their kids and their dogs thinking like, oh, well, this is a very safe neighborhood. And it used to be, at least back in the day, a not so safe neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't really speak for Chicago just because I don't know it intently, but I think the gentrification has kind of pushed gay spaces out to where they have no choice but to close down. Now, some of it could be mismanagement.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say because there was a ton of gay clubs along Halstead Street within several blocks of each other. And when I first came out and went to Chicago in 2002, I mean, these bars were popping.
That's the same in Indianapolis, too.
They're a shadow of their former self.
Mm-hmm. But I see the same thing in Indianapolis, too, because we used to have tons of gay bars. Like, you see something to do every single night of the week. And I wonder if sometimes, like, I think mismanagement is one thing, but also I feel that, too, a lot of people started buying out these gay establishments. People that didn't even have an interest in the gay community. It was something to do because it was trendy, it was profitable, and they got tired of it. They just closed it down.
Talbot Street
is one of them that comes to mind. And I want to say, don't quote me on this, I want to say 501. Like, it was a straight couple I heard something like that, but they had several issues going on there anyway. I've seen the writing on the wall for them, because when they started building those condos across the street years ago, I said, this is the beginning of the end. But I think it was a myriad of issues with why they closed. But I feel like a lot of times you have either mismanagement or you have people buying these clubs because it's profitable and they don't have an invested interest in the community, because it's more than a business to us. Like, these are our safe spaces, you know, and they get tired of it and they just sell it. You know what I mean? And they don't even try to keep. That's one thing I'll say about Donnie's. I respect them, because even though they closed down Donnie's, they still kept it. They made sure that facility was kept in our community. They sold that property over to Damien Center. So I respect that. Even if you want to close the business down, find a way to either keep it in the community or keep the doors opening and make sure whoever buys it or purchases it has a vested interest in our community, or make sure that building or something is used for the greater good of our community. And I don't think that we have that going on. And I think that could be the issue too, because now, like I said, you know, I know integration is good. It's a two-edged sword. Now we feel like we can go to the straight bars, and that's a lot more people that are marketing their places as inclusive. We feel like we can go where we want to go, so we don't feel that we need these safe spaces. But as you see now, a lot of things are being reversed, and we're sitting up here closing all our safe spaces. Where's that going? Like, if things were to go back to where they were, or things were getting, where's our safe spaces? Like, because we're handing them over to people, we're not. I don't know. I just feel like we've gotten really relaxed by all this inclusion. There's nothing wrong with that, but you still have to have a foundation. I think we are just allowing our foundation to just crumble because we're getting comfortable. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that topic up. I think it was a really good discussion. We are almost 2.5 hours in, so we're going to probably end this episode. But I feel like this was a wonderful episode and a good way to get back into the swing of things. Mm-hmm. We're going to probably start doing our shows like this, doing a part one and part two, so we can release two shows a month, so that it won't just be one show, so we can have something more regular come out. And that's something to do with the Urban Wire, too. So we don't have to burden like everybody to come in, and we might do some more virtual shows too. So you know, if you don't want to, we'll talk about it offline. But we're gonna engage the audience more. I really like this format. I like the fact that we can see the clips and stuff like that in real time, and I think it's better than Blog Talk Radio. I still stream the shows through them because they distribute my shows for me, but I'm not doing Blog Talk Radio. The quality's not good, but I'm not going to get into that. But once again, check us out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/UCOFW. Support the platform at $UrbanWire. I'm going to try to get a Zelle account up and going, but I'm going to work on that. I'm trying to think of what else we need to do. If you want to advertise with us, email me personally at seharris02@gmail.com. Trying to think. Join our Facebook group page, and I think that's about it. I mean, you guys have anything in closing before we go?
Like and subscribe.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
Yes.
In typical YouTube fashion.
Yes. All right. Hit that bell.
All right, guys. We will be back next month, and we will talk to you then.
Okay.
All right.
Good show, guys.
That was very good coming back. My goodness.
Welcome to the Tea Podcast.
bringing you the best in news, entertainment, celebrity gossip, social commentary, humor, and LGBTQ lifestyle. This podcast is part of the Urban Liar Media Network, where we shine the light on issues impacting the urban community. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher.
We'll be right back.